Now it's nice to be back again amongst you all, and we make you very welcome in the Lord's name, and trust that as we gather around the Word of God, it'll be to a blessing. Bear in mind, this meeting has one purpose. Well, that's good too. Ultimately, it's to the glory of God. But its function is that people might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved for time, and for all eternity. And that's why I'm here tonight. I'm here to preach Christ. There's a little thing in front of me, which I quite like. It's two words. It just says, preach Christ. We trust before God. And that's what we'll do. If you have a Bible with you, I'd like to read in Mark's Gospel and chapter 1. If you have no Bible with you, don't worry. The readings will be relatively short. Mark 1, please, and verse number 40. Mark 1 and 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Chapter 5, please, of Mark's Gospel. Chapter 5. And I'll just break into the story, and I'll explain the context later. And we'll come to verse 41, Mark 5 and 41, and he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha Cumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Chapter 7, please. Chapter 7, and verse 31. Mark 7 and 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, they came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Chapter 8 and verse 22. And he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. When he had spit in his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw everything clearly. And he sent away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And the last reading is in chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 13. Chapter 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and bless them. May God bless the reading of the Holy Scriptures. I'd like to speak on the touch of Christ tonight. And I suppose when we're thinking about touch, we most of us will have some understanding of what that means. You know, there are certain people, and they're kind of tactile, and they do maybe just invade your personal space just a bit too much, and when they touch you, you know that there's a sensation that everybody gets. There's a sense of touch. And yet the youngest child here, they will love it when their mum or their dad just puts their arms around them and touches them. There's something about the human touch that creates a sensation. Imagine if the person that touched you was God. Everybody we've read about today, that was the case. It was God that touched them. Now the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, that the waters are found in the hollow of his hand. Now, can you just pour the Pacific in, and the Atlantic, and the Mediterranean, and the Indian Ocean, and just keep going, and it's just a little drop in the bottom of his almighty hand. Do you remember where we used to say he made the whole world? The whole world's in his hands. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 40, he meets out the heaven with a span. What does that mean? It just means he can take the span of his hand and it just takes in the whole universe. You know, they tell us that even the Milky Way that you and I live in, just one of the thousands of billions of galaxies out there, just our Milky Way. You know, if you got in a space rocket and you could fly at the speed of light, you'd still be going in another 1,000 years and you wouldn't have got to the end of our Milky Way. That's something of the size, just of one galaxy. And you know what? He says he can meet it out with a span of his hand. Oh, our God is great. And God became a man. That's the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. God was found as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. I mean, take it with you tonight. 2,000 years later, God was found as a man in Galilee, the man of Nazareth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was found here, and he touched people, and he touched people's lives. What's interesting is the first man he touched, the man's a leper. You see, what's that? The man had a terrible disease, which was believed in those days to be contagious. It could spread. The man would have been ostracized by society. He had been cast out. Nobody would have touched a leper. Nobody. You know, I was speaking to a woman this week. Well, actually last week now. This is the new week, isn't it? And she was saying, it was in relation to a particular catchment of a school, and she was saying, "I'll never send my kids to that school there," she said. And then she says, "I moved out of that area, and I'll never allow my children to mingle with those children." Well, boy, she certainly knew her rights. But you know what? What I detected in that tone was someone who's left a working class community and has now thought herself to be a cut above everybody else. And everybody left in that community to her was just determined. She'd lost all sense of social conscience. And everybody in that community she just wanted to shun. You've maybe met people like that, yeah. They've just risen a wee bit too high in life. And everybody else is just below them. And you know what? They don't really want to mingle with the likes of us. That was that woman. Do you know what? I think this poor leper, I think a lot of people would have shunned him. I think he would have been the vermin of society. I think he would have been the outcast. I can't imagine he ever had a man or a woman put an arm around him. I don't think anybody would have held his hand. I can't imagine he would have had the touch of a human upon him very, very often. Very, very, very unlikely. And who was the first person to touch him? It was the Son of God. The Son of God. You know, he came to the Lord Jesus and he said, "Lord, if thou art willing, thou canst make me clean." In modern English, that just means, "Lord, I know that you have the power, but do you have the will? Because I know if you're willing, you can make me clean." Do you know what a lovely answer he got? "I will be clean." And he was touched. You know what? The man didn't doubt the Lord Jesus' power. But he did wonder if he'd be willing to look at our old, ragged, rebel leper like him. Maybe there's someone here, and you've not many friends. You feel as if even God's abandoned you. You feel ostracized, you feel cast out. You feel unloved. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus wants to just put his hand on you. He wants to put his arm around you. He wants to say, "Be clean." He wants to cleanse you from your sins. He wants to make you one of his family. He wants to fit you for heaven. There is no one outside the pale of the Son of God's love. There's no one. In fact, all are in. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, our gospel is a great gospel, for we preach a great Saviour, one who will never say no. Never say no. You know, I was in a funeral last week, a humanist funeral. I've never been in one before. I have to say, I found it the most cold and the most difficult funeral I've ever been at. The woman didn't know the individual. And she spoke in riddles. She spoke nothing of the Word of God. Her words only went as high as the ceiling and came back down again. It was an empty, empty ritual. But what alarmed me even more, the man that we were burying, he was a wife beater. He was an alcoholic. He was a man who was seriously depressed. Anybody who went into his presence, he abused. And she made him out to be a hero. She made him out to be one that everybody loved. She made him out to be someone who everybody had time for. People in the audience, of course, were getting very angry. It was almost a situation where people were about to walk out of his funeral. I've never been in a situation like that. As I was reflecting afterwards, you know, I was thinking, well, there's a woman and she's taken a position of being a humanist. And I would have thought that she would have thought about the human condition if she was a humanist. And she would have been real about the human condition, at the very least. But what she saw in front of her eyes was a man who was a deep sinner. A man who was a deep sinner. And I'm going to say this now. We're all lepers. You say, oh, you're looking at the wrong person. The man you just described there is very different to me. Can I say it again? We're all lepers. When you say, you know, I've never abused my wife, I've never done this to my husband, I've never done that, I'm not caring. The Bible puts it this way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But every single one of us, even the most righteous person in mental health, the Bible says in the words of Isaiah 60:64, their righteous acts are filthy rags in God's sight. There is a position that we're all in, and we're all far away from God. But is it not a wonderful gospel that God can come down as a man and touch people's lives? And he's still got time to get his arm in. He's still got time for the most rebellious sinner. Aye, he's got time for every man and woman. And every boy and girl. Oh, but don't, let's kid ourselves on, the human condition's real. This man really was a leper. But he heard the Saviour say, I will. Be clean. And he touched him. It was a touch of compassion. A touch of love. We've been hearing about the love of God. I want to assure you tonight, no matter, I don't know the audience well, I want to assure you that God loves you. I want to assure you the Lord Jesus Christ has time for you. He has come to this world for you. He has died for you. He's been raised again from the dead. And he lives in the power of an endless life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And he's coming back again. We believe that with all our heart. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. You know, I remember it well, when I felt the touch of Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? Physically, he didn't touch you. No, he didn't. But he's in heaven. And he's alive forevermore. But I do believe, you know, that this man here wasn't cleansed by the touch, but by the word. But you know what happened? He says, I will be clean. And then he touched him. You see, what cleansed him? The word of Christ. The touch was just a reassurance. Can I say that? That's a really very important thing. The day I was saved on the authority of the words of Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. For God, this is the verse for me. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that was me, I put my name in there, that if Craig should believe, Craig should never perish, but have everlasting life. And the confidence I have that I'm going to heaven, and the confidence I have that I'm cleansed, and the confidence I have of having everlasting life, is based only, solely, on the very words of Christ. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. I tell you, it's a foundation that will never, ever pass away. You see, but did you not have some feeling? No. I base it entirely upon his words. Did you not have some physical touch? No. But you know, ever since, as I read the scripture, all in spirit I felt often the touch of Christ. And be reassured that he's alive. I don't need to have it empirically proved or chemically solved, the resurrection of Christ. I believe it with all my heart. And time again, I've felt the touches of Christ in that sense. But I'm saved on the power of his word and nothing else. You know, we read about a little girl, and I know there's a few in the meeting tonight, and this particular little girl, it was her hand that he touched. You know, I have a little girl, and I'm always conscious that Rona's little hand is very different to mine. There's something about a little girl's hand, isn't there? It's so small, so soft, so tender. You know, I was in the old folks home preaching last Sunday, and I gave a lady a good shake of her hand. She said, oh, great, she says, my arthritis. And I had to be a bit careful, you know. The same would go for a little girl's hand, wouldn't it? It's just a wee tender. And this girl's dead. She's lying in the bed dead. You know, us old folk, you know, we get a bit worked up when anyone dies, but a child, there's something very, very awful in our hands. And everybody's wailing. In fact, when the Saviour came in, they laughed him to scorn. And the Lord Jesus puts out all the mourners. And round that bed, there's Mum, and there's Dad, and there's Peter, James and John. Only five, and himself. And the little girl, 7 foot. And he takes it by the hand. He says,
Talitha Kumai, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And I don't know about you, but I've got this mental picture of the wee girl just getting up there. Who's the first person she sees? It's the God of heaven. Who's the first cord in her hand? No, it was the Son of God. Can you imagine how tender it was? How loving that hand was. Can you imagine just how sensitive the touch was? You see, what happened? She was dead and she became alive again. Oh, it was a touch of power. You say, well, nobody can do that. Oh, there's only one who can. Only one who can. You can't, I can't, no man can't. Only God has the authority over life and over death. But you know what amazes me? Is that this little girl, she's a little picture of how the Lord Jesus, for now centuries, has been taking people by the hand and making them live again. Or you say, well, you know, you're speaking to an audience and there's no death here. The Bible says otherwise. The Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and in sins. And just like that wee girl lying in the bed, her mum and dad couldn't communicate with her. And neither could the disciples. So God cannot communicate with you and I in our natural state because we're dead to him. The Bible says it's almost as if there's no life in us at all. But do you know what he's able to do? He's able to give us everlasting life. He's able to make us live again. Listen to these words. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, John 5:24, he that believeth in me, he that heareth my words, and believeth in him that sent me, shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but is passed, notice the tense, is passed from death unto life. You say, can the Lord Jesus Christ give spiritual life? Yes. Can he give everlasting life? Yes. Can you get it through anybody else? No. Through another church? No. Through another religion? No. Through another great man? No. There's only one. He had to be God. And he became a man. He is the author of life. He is the source of life. And he's able to give everlasting life to all who want it. I wonder if you want it tonight. I'm being serious. You know, do you want everlasting life? Well, the Bible says you can have it. Just like that little girl. She woke up. There holding her hand was the Son of God, the Saviour himself. You know, you could wake up to me. I mean, out of the slumber of your sin. You could wake up out of the darkness. And holding would be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says he would take you from the kingdom of darkness. In the Colossian epistle it says he would translate you into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. You say, is it really true? It's really true. The touch of power. So when we read about this man in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. There's two unique miracles in Mark's Gospel, and this is one of them. And this particular man, you know, he is both deaf and he's dumb. And I suppose if you're deaf and you're dumb, then the one sense, one of the senses that will be particularly acute will be your sight. The man can't hear, and the man can't speak. But I would have thought his sense of sight would be very acute. And the Lord Jesus is brought to this man, and this man is brought in front of him. And the Lord Jesus Christ does something very strange. The Lord Jesus, it says that he put his fingers into the man's ears. Now, he's been touching hands, and I believe when he touched the leper, he touched his shoulder or his arm, because it was a touch of compassion. But now he's putting his fingers, and he's putting it right into the man's ears. Now, that's very strange. Now, you've not seen too many adults putting their fingers into another person's ears, but the Son of God did it. He put his fingers into his ears, and then he sparked, and I'll speak about that in a minute, and he touched his tongue. Now, I want to say something. Why did the Lord Jesus do that? I'll hazard a guess. The man's problem was his ears and his tongue. The Lord Jesus just put his finger right in the problem. Now, I don't know what the problem is in your life and why you're not saved. I don't know. I don't know why you don't have everlasting life. I don't know why you're not saved. I don't know what the issue is. I don't know if there's some barrier.
You might have some big sin, you know, you have to give up, or some big particular problem you have, or something that's more important than Christ, or the fact that you would lose friends, or I don't know what it is, but I do know this much. In a meeting like this, the Lord Jesus is here in spirit, and he's able just to put his finger right in the problem. Whatever it is. You say, but you spat. Well, don't worry about that. You know, when we were boys, we were always told not to spit. It was vulgar. My parents made it very clear. When we went to the school, it was clear too. Anybody who spits outside you, we know it's a vulgar thing. The reason being is that in our saliva, there's a lot of infection. And it's a filthy thing to do. Can I tell you something? There was no infection in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not at all. Can I tell you, he never caught the cold. He never had the flu. He was the only sinless man that ever walked planet Earth. There was no antibacteria in Christ that could be contaminate anyone else. He was absolutely sinless. We believe in the virgin birth of Christ. We believe he was spotless in his birth, spotless in his life, and spotless in his death. The only man that never had to say sorry. The only man that never lost his temper. The only man that never told a lie. Always kind, always gracious, always good. And I can tell you, when he spat and touched the man's tongue, there was no infection there. So in eating away, what was he doing though? Aye. The man's sense of touch. He would feel that sensation. We'd feel it. We'd feel the sensation in his ears. And the man would know that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was putting a touch of sovereignty. Just putting his finger right on the spot. And then it says in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ sighed. You don't often read about that. Aye, sighing that on fair creation, these things had never happened. It should never have happened. When a world had been made good, sin had caused such havoc. Oh, the great sorrow that it brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says he looked up into heaven, and he said these words, Ephatha. Now, if you watched me when I said that, and if you were a lip reader, you would know what that word was. Even if you were dumb, and even if you were deaf, you would get that word. Ephatha. It was something the man could pick up with his eyes. He looked to heaven, and he said, he opened. That man knew the day when his ears began to hear again, and the day when his mouth began to speak again, that the reason why was heaven was responsible for it. It was divine. He looked up into heaven and he said, be open. Can I tell you today, if you're going to hear the voice of God in your soul, and if you're going to ever speak for Christ here in Leavenmouth, there'll be a touch of heaven that's required. The preacher can't save you. It needs a work of Christ in your life. And I want to tell you, he's not reluctant to do it. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But first of all, he's got to make you uncomfortable. He's got to put his finger on your sin. That's the difficult bit. But if you don't allow him, you'll then hear the words from heaven. Be opened. Oh yes, in those ears. Aye, the Bible, you say, I can't make heaven or tail of it. Aye, you know what? It'll suddenly become a book that you'll live and breathe by. And those lips that used to swear and lie and whatever else, you'll find yourself trying to pray with the saints. Aye, you'll get you beside your bed at night. And you say, oh, I never used to know how to pray. I prayed, but I never knew if it was heard in heaven. Ah, now, you'll get a new language. See, these hymns have been singing. Oh, you know what? You'll find yourself singing them on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Ah, you've got a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. Why? Touch of Christ. Change your life. And you can do it tonight. You say, oh, but chapter 8, well, that's the man that's blind. That's the man that's blind. And this is the man from Bethesda. Again, one of the unique miracles of Mark's Gospel. And it's interesting, the Lord Jesus says he took him by the hand and brought him out of the tomb. Now, I speak with some experience here. I think that man would have never had such a good guide. I see the dog here, and I know that the dog's a great guide, right? A great guide for those with partial sight or complete blindness. But can you imagine being guided by the God of heaven? Can you imagine having the hand of Christ taking you out of the town? I tell you, there'd be no wee shuffles, there would be no wee mistakes, there'd be no steps that they would fall down. No, everything would be so smooth. You know, I don't know about you, but even as a Christian sometimes, I found myself not knowing where the Lord's leading me. It's also very dark. But what I have known is, my hand is in the hand of God. Maybe you've had experiences like that. Experiences have come your way that you would never have chosen. Dark valleys that you would have never wanted to enter into, and you find yourself in them. And you don't know where the Lord's taking you. But all you know is, your hand's in the hands of the Son of God. I tell you, no safer place to be. No safer place. He's got this man by the hand. And it says you led him out of the town. You wanted the money, though. You wanted away from the crowd. You'll be saved tonight. You'll be saved on your own. Well, I'm not saying you can't get saved in a room like this here. What I'm saying is, you'll be saved between you and God on your own. On your own. Could be alone as well. Could be in your room. Could be anywhere. But it'll be a transaction that takes place between you and God. And you've got him on man on his own. And the man, of course, is blind. And what does he do now? Well, he spits again. But this time he puts his hands on the man's eyes. Ah, you see now? That was where the man's problem was. He puts his hands on the man's eyes. And then he takes his hands away. And he asked him if he saw anything. And the man says, I see. That's the first thing. Man had never seen before. He says, I see men as trees walking. Now, the man had never seen before. This was a miracle in its own right. He'd never seen before. Never seen a man as trees. Or you say, well, he had a kind of distorted view of things. That the men are not the size of trees. So he must have an elongated view of men. Mind you, he still could see. That was an amazing thing. He'd never seen anything before. But it still wasn't perfect. It was a great, great start, was it not? I see men as trees walking. So he's had a kind of distorted view of men, mind you. There's many folk have got a distorted view of men. And there's some people who think that, you know, because somebody's got the title Archbishop, or Reverend, or Very Reverend, or perhaps even the title Vicar of Christ, that they can save them from their souls. I want to tell you, there's only one that can save you. Only one. He's the Son of God. No man has the right. And so the Lord Jesus, it says, he put his hands back in the man's eyes. And he asked him to look up. Oh, you see, he wanted the man to know it was heaven, it was blessing. And he takes his hands away again. And he says, he saw all things clearly. Can you see this man for the first time seeing a bird, a boy, a man, a house, the sea, the sky, the sun, the stars? It's all there. He's taking it all in. I want to tell you something. You and I too need the Lord Jesus to touch our eyes. Not just our ears, not just our tongue, not just our shoulder, not just our hand, our eyes. You see, the Bible says we're blind. The Bible says we're staggering our way through life and we don't know the way to heaven. The Bible says we've all been like sheep, have gone astray, we've led everyone into our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It's almost like we're staggering about in the darkness, blind, blind. And when something is brought to us from God, plain truth, we can't see it. What the Lord Jesus wants to do is give you some spiritual sight. Oh, you know, he wants to touch those eyes. And I want to tell you something. You'll suddenly see things you never saw before. Oh, the Bible has just been saying it's so dry. Suddenly now, it's a rich tapestry of truth. Suddenly we've got a whole panorama of heaven found in one book. Suddenly I've got a whole set of scriptures that bring me into a new dimension altogether. I see things in a different way. I see society different. I see people trying to find wealth and realising there's no happiness there. I see people going down the route of politics and pleasures and I realise there's no hope there. Eyes of sight is so important. You can see things in a completely different way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that cometh to me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, I see time's going, but let me just say something about the children. I think Mark 10 is one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, only once did he say he was angry. But Mark 10 said he was indignant. It's the only time we'll find him. What was he indignant about? The disciples would have stopped the children coming to him. Never stop the children coming to hear the good news. The Lord Jesus didn't do it. And they would have stopped the boys and girls. And I don't know what age you think they are. But I think the children that he was speaking about is very, very young children. For otherwise he couldn't have taken them up in his arms the way he did. And these children that are brought to the Lord Jesus, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. And it says that he took the children up in his arms. Now, can you imagine anything more lovely? You know, there's a picture where my wife has come from back down in South Wales. In the Gospel Hall at the back of the room, there's a prayer meeting room, and on that wall, there's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ with five children in his arms. An Indian, a European, a Chinese, a little black boy, and it's got the whole colour spectrum. Now, I don't know if that was true in Martin. But I love that picture. I love the picture, because it's so true that he loves the boys and girls. And he's got them up in his arms. These very arms that cradle the universe. Those same hands that span the heavens. Those same hands that the waters are found in the hollow of his hand. Those same fingers that touch the mountains and the smoke. Those same hands that opens up his hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing. Those same hands. And he's got the boy's prayers in his hands. And he says, except you become a child, like all children. Except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, he says. And then it says, he took them up in his arms, and then it says, he laid his hands upon them and blessed them. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've already got children in your arms, and then you put your hands upon them and bless them, there's only one place you can put your hand. I think it's on their head. That's what I see. He puts their hand right on top of their head, and he blesses them. Can you see this? You say, would the Lord Jesus do that to boys and girls in Maple Hill? He would. No, he would. You know, when I was saved at 7 years of age. I didn't know very much. Other than this, that God loved me. And the Lord Jesus Christ had died for me. You know, he just wants to bless boys and girls and men and women. He wants men and women to become like boys and girls. Or you say, they're just children. They don't really understand. But you know what they do? They trust. They trust. You know, when I throw my arms out to my youngest and I say, come to daddy, he just runs and he just jumps in my arms. He doesn't think of the consequences. He just jumps in. The Lord Jesus wants to take you up in his arms and he wants you to become like a little child. He wants you to trust him. But tell me, will you do it to me? Will you trust him? Trust him for now and for all eternity? He says, come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. There's no greater Saviour. There's no greater message. He wants to touch you tonight. Tell me, will you let him? Will you be saved tonight? We're preaching for salvation. We're preaching for heaven. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit is here tonight. And he's able and he's willing to save you. The choice is yours. Don't put this matter off. Come as a sinner to the Saviour tonight. Shall we pray? And Father, we thank thee again for the message of the Gospel. We thank thee for the Son of God, thy lovely Son, who was here on earth. And we thank thee, Father, that he touched lepers, and he touched children, and he touched blind men, and he touched dumb men. And we thank thee he touched all sorts of different types of people. And we thank thee, Father, down through the generations he's touched many lives. We thank thee for the people he's touched in this room tonight. And grant thee everlasting life and hope for heaven. We pray that he would touch some more. We know there's no reluctance on his part. We pray that, Father, there'll be those in the room tonight who would come to him and trust him for all eternity and feel the blessings of eternal life. Father, we ask these things, praying for our country tonight, longing for a coming back to God in the Saviour's precious name. The time's gone, but just we'll sing a couple of verses of 292. We'll just sing the first and last of 292. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. We'll just remain seated and sing the first and last of 292.